Welcome to the party. Somebody said that to me this morning. They reminded me of my sermon a number of weeks back. They said, thank you for inviting me to the party. And I thought to myself, okay, when did I invite somebody to a party? And then I remembered that we had referred to the kingdom of heaven as a time where we come and we rejoice. Did you catch the end of the reading today, the scripture today? It said, rejoice, rejoice. A lot of times we like to grovel around and mumble under our breath, but we're here this morning to rejoice and be glad and to celebrate the kingdom of heaven. Take a moment and greet somebody next to you in the church and just welcome them to this party, to the kingdom of heaven. Okay, it's nice to just warm up a little bit after a cold, it's been about 3 or 4 weeks. It's been pretty rainy and cold down here in beautiful, sunny San Diego. So we're back to our beautiful San Diego weather. And that's great. It's always good news. As you know, we are studying the book of Matthew, but more specifically, we're talking about the gospel. And Matthew has been leading us along here. We're in chapter 5. And as we've also referred to, as Matthew has taken this thread of truth called the kingdom of heaven and has woven it into the fabric of his letter here in Matthew, we keep hearing this word, the kingdom of heaven. He keeps bringing us back to the concept of the kingdom of heaven and what the kingdom of heaven is all about. Now, it's interesting that here in the 5th chapter, Matthew has Jesus on a hillside preaching his first sermon. But before we get to that first sermon, I want to back up just a little bit and keep in mind that when the writers of the Bible wrote the messages that they had, whether they were letters or books or whatever, they didn't have any punctuation and they didn't have verses and chapters. That was an afterthought that someone else came along and did later on. And just to give you a good example, how many of you write letters to loved ones with chapters and verses? If you do, I got somebody that needs to talk to you. Most of us, when we're writing a letter to someone that we know or someone we love, we write like we talk. We convey the message like you would just normally convey to someone you are talking to. Hopefully that's how you normally write. Very few people actually write books to people they love. They usually write letters, and those letters can eventually become a book. But in this case, Matthew is writing, and he's telling a story. He's telling the gospel. He's giving a message, and that message is the kingdom of heaven is here now. And as we go through the book of Matthew, he's going to keep reminding us over and over and over again. And so I would like to say that let's just pretend for a moment here that we don't have chapter 5, and we're going to back up just a little bit into chapter 4. In chapter 4, we have Jesus leaving his baptism experience with John the Baptist, and Jesus leaves that place, the Jordan River, and he goes down by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus has a specific mission to accomplish, and that mission is to gather together disciples, followers. Now, Jesus didn't have a problem with people following him. It's pretty obvious as we read this passage of Scripture. There's a multitude of people that are following Jesus. But Jesus goes down in chapter 4, let's start with verse 12. Because Jesus here had heard John preaching. And John had a message that ushered in the kingdom of heaven. And in the chapter 4, verse 12, we have a narration here where, leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which is by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness, have seen a great light on those living in the land of the shadow of death, and light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach. And what did he preach? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother, Andrew. And they were casting their nets. They were out fishing. And as Jesus is walking along, he sees these two young men, and they're out fishing in the Sea of Galilee. And he said to them, "Come, follow me." There is Jesus' first call to humanity to come and follow and be a part of the kingdom. Come, follow me. And Jesus said, "I will make of you fishers of men." At once, it said, they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in boat with their father Zebedee and preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So you have Jesus now actively involved in calling men and women into the kingdom of heaven, calling them to be a part of this kingdom. And then it says in verse 23, then Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom. Preaching the good news of the kingdom. And healing every disease, sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. And large crowds from Galilee and the Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and the regions around the Jordan followed after Jesus. So as I said before, Jesus didn't have a problem gathering a crowd, did he? But more specifically, Jesus was calling men and women into the kingdom of heaven. He has already begun his ministry, and that is to preach the good news of salvation, to preach the good news of the kingdom of heaven. And in preaching that, people followed after him, and they became disciples. Now, when Jesus saw this great crowd that had gathered, he decided it was time to preach his first sermon, at least the first one that we have recorded here. And in this sermon, Jesus uses the word blessed. Blessed. Isn't that interesting? And as I was preparing my sermon for this week, I read through the sermon several times. We call it the Beatitudes. And I was trying to get the flow. I was trying to get the sense of what was Jesus trying to convey here. What was it he was trying to tell people? Besides, it looks very poetic if you read through it. It has a rhythm to it. I wonder if maybe it wasn't even put to some music at one point. But it kind of flows. It has a beauty, a natural beauty. It flows like poetry. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted. You can see there's a cadence, there's a rhythm to it. But beyond that, there's more. It's deeper. It goes much deeper than just simply a list of blesseds, because the word blessed itself is a very important word. In the Greek, it's the word makarios. It has to do with blessedness. And what I discovered in trying to understand exactly what it was that Jesus was saying here, I came to this very interesting conclusion. Blessed is not an outward expression, a feeling of euphoria. It's not some excitement that somebody gets, like when the Chargers win a game. It's not some warm, fuzzy feeling you get. Blessed runs deep. It runs deep within the soul. It has very little to do with externals. It has very little to do with the outside appearance. It has to do with God's gift. It's engraved, as it were, on our hearts. It has to do with holiness. Blessedness is about kingdomness. You get it? It's about kingdomness. It's about belonging. It's about dwelling. It's about relationships. It's about contentedness. It's about a feeling of joy, an unexpressible joy that comes from the depths of our hearts. Now, some of you, when you read the Beatitudes, and I was like you one time, you look at that list and you go, oh, let me sharpen my pencil here. You know, all right, I'll write these all down, and I'll keep that in my pocket, and every day at the end of the day, I'll look at that list and I'll say, okay, now did I do that? Was I humble? Was I meek? Was I a peacekeeper? Was I following that checklist? Oh, we love that, don't we? We love checklists. We put them up on our refrigerators and we check them off every day. We keep them in our billfolds. We like the idea of something tangible, something that we can say, okay, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this, and therefore I must be. Oh, you missed it. That's not what Jesus is doing here. He's not trying to lay down another checklist for the Pharisees to observe and check off at the end of the day, saying, now I am holy and righteous. What Jesus is saying here is so powerful that it just makes my mind swim. When I was finally hit by what he was really trying to say is, it just kind of blew me away. In fact, I had to take two pages out of my notes and wad them up and throw them away. Because what Jesus is saying is, blessedness is a result of living in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, now that puts a whole nother picture, doesn't it? That's a whole different game, isn't it? It's not a checklist for the legalist to check off every day. It's about being a part of. It's about being in a relationship. It's about vertical relationships, and it's about horizontal relationships. You know what that's about, isn't it? The vertical relationship that we have with our God in heaven, the one that loves us and cares for us, the same relationship that caused Him to send His only begotten Son to die on a cross so that I might have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the vertical relationship. That's the connection necessary to be a part of the kingdom of heaven, to be a part of the spiritual body of Christ. We need to have the vertical connection with our God in heaven. And once we are part of this kingdom, once we are part of the fellowship, the body of Christ, then we begin to develop the horizontal relationships with those that we rub shoulders with in the body of Christ. And that's really what Jesus is talking about here in the Beatitudes. He's talking about not only having that connectedness with the kingdom of heaven, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the God of the universe, but he's talking about how we relate to one another here in the body of Christ. Blessed is about kingdomness. It's about connectedness. It's about belonging. It's about dwelling. Jesus came to model the kingdom of heaven. He came to model kingdom living. Not only is Jesus the Messiah, not only is the teacher, but Jesus is the example that's on display. Do you get it? Jesus is the example of the kingdom of heaven, and He's on display. And in fact, if you read this passage, the Beatitudes, over and over and over again, suddenly the light goes on in your head, and you say, wow, that's a description of Jesus' character. Think about it. Poor in spirit. Mourn. Meekness. Hungering after righteousness. All of those things. All of those things belong to the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus came to display all of that. He came to establish the kingdom of heaven. And I can assure you, the kingdom of heaven is not a checklist that you keep on your refrigerator. The kingdom of heaven is an experience. It's an experience that we can have here on this earth. It's the beginning of the eternal bliss, the beginning of the eternal joy, the eternal happiness. It starts right here on this earth. Yeah, it's a nasty place to live, but you know what? It doesn't always have to be that way. That's why we come here. That's why we come here on Sabbath morning to fellowship together in the kingdom of heaven, to just experience just a little bit of the joy that will be ours for eternity. Of course, when we come together, we have people of all different personalities, with all different ways of interacting and relating to one another and to God. And that means it's just one big blended family, one big blended mass of people. Oh yes, and we have our differences. That's good. There's nothing wrong with being different than the person next to you. Or maybe we should all just put on black clothes and dress the same, look the same, eat the same. No, that's not what it's about. It's about God loving His children, accepting His children, forgiving His children, dying for His children so that they might have eternal life. And we all come with our own uniqueness, created equally, but also created very unique. We come together to worship, be a part of the kingdom. Jesus' life is the blessed life. He's calling His disciples to this blessed life, this kingdom living, this connection. There's something else we don't want to forget as we go through chapter 4. Because in chapter 4, verse 23 to 25, we have Jesus going through the cities and going through the towns and the villages of this area. And He is healing. He's bringing healing. So you see, the kingdom of heaven is about healing, isn't it? It's about wounded people coming and finding healing. It's about relieving suffering. It's about freeing those from demonic powers, setting free those who are in chains. I don't know about you, but that seems to me like a pretty great place to be. I can't think of any other place I'd want to be than right here. Because this is where the kingdom is. This is where there's kingdom living going on. This is where people relate to one another with the values of the kingdom that Jesus has set forth here in chapter 5. It's a great place. It's an excellent place to pitch your tent. It's a place you want to live forever in. And so people followed after Jesus because it was a blessing to be in His presence. I don't think it's that much different today. When people come and they get a taste of kingdom living, when people come and they experience the joy of the kingdom life, they kind of want to come back for more, don't they? And we're not talking about perfection here. We're just talking about being a part of the body of Christ. There's no greater place than to worship in the camp of believers. There's no greater place to worship than in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of heaven. Is present. What this really translates into is that today, this morning, here on this in this place, in this beautiful sanctuary, in the very presence of God, we ought to be feeling the blessings that are promised in the Beatitudes, chapter 5. The blessedness of our life is directly connected to the priorities and the choices that we make. Priorities and choices that we make. And so, Matthew is trying to tell us, by sharing this beautiful sermon, he's trying to tell us this is what kingdom living is all about. This is what Christ came to establish. He came to establish the kingdom of heaven, right here on this earth. What Matthew is describing through the words of Jesus is that he's describing what it's all about to live in the kingdom of heaven. He's describing what you will experience in the kingdom of heaven. It's an atmosphere. It's a heavenly atmosphere. It's a kingdom atmosphere. Of course, when you get right down to the living experience, living in the body of Christ, living in the kingdom of heaven, there comes the blessed, what I call the blessed afterglow. I remember a number of years ago when I was a youth pastor, in Riverside. We took a group of our young people and our collegiates, and we decided that we were going to go out into the Mojave Desert, and we were going to really have a big party out there. And so we took several van full of our young people and our youth and our young adults, and we went out to a place where, at least I think it was legal to build a big bonfire. Today I don't think it would be legal, but maybe in the early 80s it was legal. We didn't really check, I don't think. But anyways, so we went out there, and we had one of the men in the church was a contractor, and he had these wooden pallets. And I know we use them here at the beach, but he had a whole truck full of wooden pallets. And I thought, man, how big is this fire going to be? How long do we plan to stay? And we went way out in the Mojave Desert in this little place and began to stack up these wooden pallets and throw all kinds of combustibles in there and pour a little bit of, the gasoline or whatever it was they poured on it. And the guy said, now stand back, everybody, because here it goes, you know. And he lit that match and he threw it in the fire and boom! There was this huge explosion, and the flames were leaping way up in the air. And as we watched this fire burn, and it seemed to get bigger and bigger, and we realized that there was a tree really close to this bonfire. And we were worried that we're going to burn down the whole area if it gets that tree. And the tree's leaves began to get warm, and you could see them kind of curling and shriveling up a little bit. And we were just sweating and really worried. Well, the fire began to die down, and as it began to die down, the excitement and the jumping around and the yelling and the hollering that normally is associated with big fires began to subside, and people began to gather around the fire and brought out their guitars and began to sing some songs together. And the sun was just taking a long time to go down. You could see the beautiful sunset in the distance, and the mood began to change, and people began to sing song after song after song, and the fire died down even more and more, and a number of hours went by, and pretty soon all that was left was this big pile of red hot embers. And then somebody decided it was time to party again, and they brought out the marshmallows and they brought out the graham crackers and a little bit of chocolate, and next thing you know there were s'mores going around. Oh, those are so good. It tastes better, I think, outdoors. And they were making s'mores, and people were filling their bellies with s'mores. But as we sat there and we enjoyed that sweet experience, the afterglow of that huge bonfire, people's minds began to become more relaxed and more meditative. And before you knew it, people were sharing stories about their lives, sharing about the goodness of God and giving testimonies of how great God is and how God was leading in their lives, basking in the glow of blessedness. That's really what it's all about, isn't it? So we come here on Sabbaths. We're here to worship. We sing beautiful songs. I'd like to ask the worship team. I kind of gave them a heads up. We got a song that I think we sang earlier at the beginning of the worship service. I'd like to just sing it just for a moment here and meditate on the words of this song and think about what it means to be part of the body of Christ. Think about what it means to be part of the kingdom. Think about what it means as we connect with God, but also as we connect with one another.
Blessed be the name.
And Jesus said, lowliness, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. What he was saying is that it's the beginning. Being poor in spirit is the beginning of holiness. When he said, blessed are those who mourn, in means those who mourn because of the sinfulness in their lives and the need for a Savior. We understand in our mourning, we understand the suffering of Jesus. We understand that spiritual mourning is necessary so that we might draw closer to our Savior. When Jesus said, blessed are the meek, we understand that it was Christ who was the one who was meek. It was part of his character, was meekness. When he talks about hungering, it's the craving for righteousness, the craving for Christ in our lives. He talks about merciful, he's talking about God's grace. When we receive God's grace, when we experience God's grace, then we in turn begin to show that grace and to share that grace with those who we communicate with and come in contact with. When he talks about purity and transparency, he's talking about kingdom people that are pure of heart, cleansed in the heart. It gives mental purity and vision. When he talks about peace, he's talking about the God of peace, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. He talks about blessed are those who are persecuted. He talks about what an honor it is to join Christ, to be part of the body. The kingdom life is a blessed life. It is a precious life, full of heavenly joy. As we continue to follow the life of Jesus and the writings of Matthew, let us follow. Let us be disciples of Jesus and follow him.